A song was shared with me a few weeks ago that I think is quite fitting. It is called Give Your Best to the Master. But I thought the words were just really fitting for this last chapter of Ephesians. Let me read to you the words of some of this song, Give Your Best to the Master. Give your best to the Master, give of the strength of your youth. Throw your soul's fresh glowing ardor into the battle for truth. Jesus has set the example. Dauntless was he, young and brave. Give him your loyal devotion. Give him the best that you have. Give of your best to the Master. Give of the strength of your youth. Clad in salvation's full armor, join in the battle for truth. Give of your best to the Master. Naught else is worthy of his love. He gave himself for your ransom, gave up his glory above. Lay down his life without murmur, you from sin's ruin to save. Give him your heart's adoration, give him the best that you have. Give of your best to the Master, give of the strength of your youth. Clad in salvation's full armor, join in the battle for truth. It's a beautiful song. It's got beautiful words that we have what we need in this battle for truth. That God has given us the strength and the truth to go forward. And not in a physical battle, as this song speaks of, but in a spiritual battle. If you would turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 6, I believe Paul hasn't left this idea of a battle. This idea that there is a spiritual battle that is going on, that is taking place at this moment. And I think it's fitting as the last section of Ephesians as we close it out. If you would be okay for me asking, if we all stand to read this last portion of Ephesians chapter 6. I know some churches stand every Sunday to read the Word, but I thought it would be fitting, at least for this end, to stand as we read of Paul's closing in Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to start in verses 18 and go through 24. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So that you also may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. Thank you. If you want to take a seat, that would be great. Let me pray for God's preaching of the word this morning, that he would use my humble words. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you put on Paul's heart at the very end of this book an emphasis on prayer. An emphasis that we need you, Lord. We depend upon you. That we cannot do the ministry of the gospel without your power, without you working through us. Lord, that's very easy to say, and yet I know even at times for me on a weekly basis, there are some days where I'm going at it in my own strength. I'm using my own logic and thinking of my own plans, and I'm not asking you for direction, and I think that my way is the best way. Lord, would you humble my own heart to remember that all power and all change and all glory is through you. You are the one who does amazing things. You are the one, as it says in Scripture, who grows the church. So, Lord, as we know that you are the one who does all things, I pray even this morning I would ask you, use my humble words to make this Scripture more powerful than what I could say, but it's what you have said to us. And may we go away realizing that we may be prayer warriors, but we have so much more to be praying about. There are so many more things that we could be in prayer for. And let us never forget how dependent we are upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I don't know if you see some Christian movies that come out. I don't know if some of you have seen this movie called The War Room. But it is a movie based off of this military understanding that happened in World War II, actually with Winston Churchill, who is kind of one of my favorite characters in British history, I guess. But he really thought up this idea that during battle in a war, there should be a central room, a command room, a control room, where all these chief of staff, all the head military guys are in communication with each other at all times during the war. And some have said that because of that setup, because of that war room, it is what helped the World War II victory over Germany, was that communication was so key and so vital and done so well in that war. And there was a Christian movie based off of that idea of a war room with this wife of a family who chose to make her closet her war room. Not a war room for physical communication, physical battle, but a war room of spiritual sense. That she chose that she needed the Lord to fight for her family. That she had to pray for her family. This idea that there is a spiritual battle, and this woman in this movie realizes that we get to be a part of it, and the way we get to be a part of that is, as God says, through prayer. Through seeing God move in our petitions, in our supplications. And I think that's why Paul ends this idea of a spiritual war with prayer. Because I believe, really, the greatest weapon, if you want to call it a weapon, the greatest gift we have in this battle is prayer. Prayer for others, and also what prayer does for us. And I want us to just see the four things highlighted here. And maybe I'm taking a little bit of a stretch, but I do believe Paul's closing as he says, "Peace to the brothers and grace be with everyone," that those are Paul's prayers. He is praying for peace to the brothers. He is praying for grace to all. And really, this is just a closing prayer of the Apostle Paul at the end of Ephesians. So we're going to look at how Paul tells us to pray for yourself first, and then to include other individuals within that spiritual battle. And then to pray for the church. And then lastly, to pray for all in general. To pray for all Christians, to pray for all who are in the world. So let's look first at what does Paul talk about in praying for yourself? Look at verse 18 and 19 and 20. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So he begins with this general call for all to pray for all the saints. And just to clarify, what prayers and supplications are, is prayers are just petitions. Everything that goes up to the Lord, maybe it's a 5-second prayer. Maybe it's a 10-minute prayer in the morning. Maybe it's everything else in between. Our petitions that we bring to the Lord, maybe for ourselves, for someone else, for someone who doesn't know Jesus. And then there's the word in there, supplications. And that is an urgent plea. There is this idea of urgency and a dire need within that word. And I think we understand that. We understand sometimes in those moments in life where we just know we need to be on our knees. We know that if God doesn't do something, there's going to be a lot of problems, a lot of trouble, a lot of hurt, and we cannot do it in our own strength. And that's what the word means. We supplicate. We get on our knees before the Lord, and we plead, God, do something great here. Show yourself to be great in this moment. So I hope that helps us understand that let's not just say, okay, go, let's just pray over that. But maybe it's a moment of supplication. Maybe it's a moment where we really need to ask God that we cannot see an end, an answer to this unless he does something amazing. And maybe you are in a season where it's not just petitions. You're praying supplications. Maybe you're in a season of blessing. And your prayers are thanksgiving. Your prayers are, I am beyond blessed. I don't know how the Lord could be more gracious. The Lord gives us all kinds of seasons. And after he starts with this general call for us to pray for all the saints, what is interesting is he says, pray for me. And so first off, we need to pray. And I don't know, this might sound egotistical, but the Bible says, pray for yourself. Your own needs are important. It's important for us to share with each other our own needs. I guess I'm the first one to be the offender. My mouth has been in pain for 2 weeks from some small cavity surgery that I had that I've never had any issues with small cavity, things. And I think I got shot too many times or who knows what, but from what I'm reading, it's like a 2 to 3 week healing process. And I should be saying, church, pray for me through this pain. And I know it's kind of a minor prayer request, but it's affected my days. Lord willing, I'm sane right now, but I've been on a lot of pain drugs that I want to get off of because I'm just amazed at how long this pain has been going. And I guess you could say pray for the pain to go away completely. Otherwise, I might be going in really early tomorrow to make sure everything is okay. But it's okay to share prayer requests that we have, that you have. To the body, to each other. I know it makes us vulnerable. It makes us weak. It makes us look humble. And yet, we need each other's prayers. What does Paul pray for here? He prays not just for a physical need, and I think this is so important. He prays for two very important things, and that is to be bold for the gospel. And to be faithful to his calling. And I think I saw a hand out there, and I want to be mindful of our church. So remind me later if you have a prayer request at the end. We should be praying for one another. So share if you feel like you need to share. But Paul says, pray for me that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. This is not just for the Apostle Paul. This is for all of us. This is for me on a Sunday morning, that I would be faithful to God's word, that I would be bold, especially when it's on a topic that maybe is not so friendly in today's culture. But the word of God calls me to speak the truth. And that's what Paul is praying for here. The apostle, as he's in chains, he's asking these churches, think of me, pray for boldness for me to speak of the gospel when I have the opportunity. We all need that prayer, right? God always gives us opportunities to speak the truth. And I know all of us could probably raise our hands and say we've missed some of those opportunities. We've not taken those opportunities. So let us all pray for boldness to share the gospel. And then Paul says, I believe he's really speaking of his faithfulness in ministry as he calls himself an ambassador in chains. And that word ambassador means a representative of the king. I love this word. I taught this word to the children in the summer that those in Jesus Christ are ambassadors. They have a message to go forth with. They have a summons from their king. They know what their king wants. They know how to speak for the king. That's what Paul calls himself here, an ambassador in chains. Also, apparently in this word is this understanding of being elderly, being older, being someone who's been in the faith for a long time. And that's why I say that Paul prays continually for himself to be faithful in the ministry. What a testimony he has for us this morning. Here's a man, probably in his 70s or 80s. He's locked up in prison, and he still loves Jesus. And he's still singing songs in prison. And he's still writing letters to churches. And he just loves God, and he loves his people at the end of his life. What a testimony. I pray that I will be 70 or 80 and be able to say, praise the Lord. He is good. Like I hear from Howard Walton all the time, the Lord is good. May we be able to run the race to the very end. May we be able to be faithful ambassadors for the Lord. I could say so much more about praying for ourselves, but let's be okay asking each other for prayer. Saying, I do have a need. Maybe it's physical. Maybe it's a heart need. Maybe it's a soul need. Some you need some encouragement. You're not having a good day. That's okay. That's okay. That's why the Psalms are in the Bible. We get to see David just spilling his soul out to the Lord. Why is my soul so downcast? Why am I in depression right now? And then he reminds himself, I'm going to put my hope in the Lord. David was very honest about where he was. And he shared it to the world. He wrote these Psalms for us to read so that we know that it's okay if our soul is downcast. It's okay if we feel like our feet are in the mire. It's okay if we wonder, why are there tears on my bed? That's what the psalmist wrote about. Because when we realize that there is hurt in life, that is when the Lord comes in and heals us. And he might use someone in the church to help someone else and bring grace into their life and heal some of those wounds. It's okay to ask for prayer. I know it sounds egotistical, maybe egocentric and selfish, but it's human. We are all sinners in this room. We all need encouragement from one another. We all can have grace given to each other in this room. We can all be maybe that friend that we need right now. I think of that man, Joe Curry. Maybe he just needs a Diana Motzinger right now to encourage him, to pray for him. Let us be willing to pray for ourselves, but also, number two, include other individuals. Paul goes on and says in verse 21, "So that you also may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything." Include other individuals. And here Paul talks of Tychicus, who, as he calls him, is dear to him and is a faithful minister to the Lord. Here was a man, if you look at, you could go and look at an encyclopedia or even a concordance of the Bible and find out where Tychicus is mentioned, but here is a man who gave his life to help Paul in ministry over and over and over again. You see him in Acts, being with Paul and other leaders as Paul is going through missionary trips. You see him being sent with letters to other churches to encourage the churches, sending these letters to the churches from Paul who wrote them, at least with Colossians and it looks like Titus. We see a man who came alongside of Paul and just said, "Paul, what can I do to help you?" What a blessing for Paul to mention this man, for this man to be a faithful and dear friend to Paul. He calls him beloved. And some of us may have that. Some of us may know of someone who has been that faithful friend, that person that we can talk to, who always encourages us, who always reminds us of truth, who always says, let's just stop right now and let's pray together. Maybe there's a beloved friend that you know of. And I would pray that if you don't have someone, that God would bring a friend, a beloved friend that you know I can always call. I can always text. I can always email. I can always visit. And I know the door is open. I know they're going to listen. I know they're going to sit down with me. And they're going to be an encouragement. And Paul calls Tychicus faithful. This word means when he says he would do something, he did it. When he needed to show up at this time in this way, he was there for the Apostle Paul. When he was given a letter to get somewhere, it got to those churches. When he was given a message to be trusted with, he relayed that message faithfully. He was a man of his word. He was a hard worker. How would we be described? What kind of word might be used for us? Would it be youthful, energetic, hardworking, caring, loyal, innovative? There's a word. Always full of ideas. What kind of word would describe you? For Paul, when he thought of Tychicus, he thought faithful minister of the Lord. So when we pray to the Lord, we might bring our own needs to the Lord, but let us include others in those prayers. Let us thank the Lord for those people. Tychicuses. Those faithful friends, those beloved brothers in Christ. Third, we don't just pray for ourselves, we don't include others, but we pray for the church. We pray that the church is encouraged, and we pray that the church is filled with peace and love and faith. Paul continues and says, "I have sent him, Tychicus, to you, the church of Ephesus, for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." the point of the Apostle Paul sending someone was that it's always more encouraging when you get to sit down with someone in person. You get to converse, ask them what's going on in their life. For Tychicus, what's going on with the Apostle Paul? How is prison? What is he? Is everything okay with him? It's so much better when you can do that in person. So much more of an encouragement. Letters are wonderful. Emails are wonderful. Texts may be the best encouragement sometimes when you just need a wonderful word from someone really quickly. But to be able to have times to sit down with someone and to talk about what is God doing in your life? How have you been encouraged? This was the role of Tychicus. He was able to encourage the hearts of the Ephesian church. And that was Paul's prayer. I want to send this representative to you to be an encouragement to your hearts. And he was. He is an encouragement to our hearts. We have the book of Ephesians because of the ministry of Tychicus. I'm going to be saying that interesting word too many times. I don't think I'll name my son Tychicus, but but this man was an encouragement to the church. And because of his hard work and his ministry, we now have the book of Ephesians in circulation in our Bibles today, able to read, what did Paul write to this church? Paul also prays for peace to be for the brothers and sisters, as the ESV says, and love with faith. These are the three beautiful themes of Christianity. Peace be with you. Love from the Lord. Faith that he gives. And when I think of that word, love with faith, it always kind of brings me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love never fails. And some have actually said that understanding, that full description of what love is in 1 Corinthians 13 is a perfect picture of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus believed in us when we were lost. He gave us hope. He has hope for those who are lost. He never fails. He has not failed us. He went to the cross for us. He accomplished God's will in his life to bring us salvation. He is the perfect example of love. But what a beautiful way to compel us to believe all things. I really think that means to believe in the best for someone, to hope in someone, to believe that God can do above and beyond amazing things in all of our lives. That's why love is coupled with faith, because it takes that kind of faith. That God is working in your hearts, that God is going to change us and make us more like Jesus Christ. It is love with faith. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love never fails. And lastly, I believe Paul calls the church in his final words to pray for all people. He says, grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. This grace here is the word for favor, blessing, good things. Paul says, you've been given peace and love and faith, and God and his favor towards you is what I pray. And he says, why does he say this word favor and grace and goodwill to all? Because the God who gives this grace to us is the God who is the source of love incorruptible. His love never runs dry. His love is always eternal. His love has never failed. It never will fail. In glory, we will understand his love completely. And it is the love most demonstrated on the cross, where Jesus Christ forsook his throne in heaven, came to live on earth amongst sinners, died the death that we deserve, took the weight of God's wrath on his shoulders in his body on the cross. That was how much God loved us. And that's a love, as Paul says, that is incorruptible, that will never fade. I love what 1 Peter 1:3-5 says. 1 Peter 1:3-5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. God and his power is guarding us with a love incorruptible. So yes, grace be to those who are in Jesus Christ. But I also think when we're speaking of prayer, that we need to end thinking about those in the world who need to be saved as well. Our prayers should be for the church in general, but it also needs to be for the lost, for this world. 1 Timothy 2:1-4 says, first of all, then I urge that supplications, there's that word again, urgent needs, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. How does favor come into our life? It says right there that God says it is good to pray even for kings and those in high authority and for all people. There is blessing and favor too when we don't just pray for ourselves, we don't just pray for those who have ministered alongside of us, when we don't just pray for the church, but we're actually also praying for the world, for those who rule, for those high in authority, for all people, for the ones especially that we don't want to pray for the ones that are hard to pray for. Timothy says, pray for all people. So I would encourage you, how do you pray is the question this morning. And that might be different for each one in this room sitting here. How do you pray? Could it be that you've never talked to the Lord before? You don't know what to say to God Almighty. And you think you have to have the right structure and the right words and the right tone. And I would just say, maybe the songs that we sang today would help us in our prayers. Maybe all you need to say is, Lord, I need you. I don't know what to say. I don't know what words to say. I know that I need you right now in this moment. Or maybe you're doubting and your heart is heavy this morning. Maybe some other truth has convinced you and you have strayed from God's truth. And maybe tonight or this morning you need to hear that you can cast all your cares upon the Lord. Every burden, every doubt, every question that you have, you can say, Lord, show me the truth. Show me who you are. Lead me to your word so I can see what is true. And maybe right now is a time of blessing, a time where God has been gracious, that you understand the grace that Paul speaks of in this passage. And maybe you are just enjoying close communion with the Lord. And we will sing here in a moment, just a closer walk with thee. And maybe that is your prayer this morning. I just want to be closer to thee, Lord. Because as I understand, when I get closer, that is where my heart needs to be. And I just want to be there all the time. I want to be closer to you. I want to be communing with you. So wherever you are in every day, how do you pray? And maybe it's just, Lord, get me safely home. Maybe it's, Lord, protect this person right now. Maybe it's, Lord, I've been praying for this person for 5 years, 10 years. It could be all kinds of prayers, but know that God listens to his children. He listens to our prayers. He wants us to come, all who are weary and heavy laden, and he will provide the rest.